This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the phone lines, as he does at 3:30 every Thursday, is Tom E. Curran. Tom E. Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Tom Curran, would you boo the anthem at the Garden tonight?
I would certainly not do such a thing.
Boo!
Thank you, sir.
Oh, a golf club. Okay.
Provided with a golf clap.
Okay.
Or maybe something a little more robust, or maybe like Ted Johnson said, nothing at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's a like you have to look yourself in the eye 3 years down the road when this is passed and say, what did I do that night that I went to the Garden? Oh, I booed the anthem. I have people who are friends of mine who are Canadians, you might say to yourself down the road. Or I have shared history with this hat for our country, which Canada is. So to me, don't have a small moment in time where you can be petty and cheap and say, well, they did it, like you're on the playground. You just clap for it. The way that Bruins fans have before in that arena, as you guys know, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm. You're a fan of Rush and Bare Naked Ladies, too, Tom, right? So you don't want to, you know.
100%.
A couple Canadian bands, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, Martin Short, you know, Dana Carvey.
There you go.
There's a lot of good. Yes. You know, John Candy.
Boom.
You know,
Jim Carrey. Come on. Candy? Eugene Levy. Yep.
Dan Aykroyd.
Boo.
You're going to boo John Candy. Okay, have fun.
Thank you.
Tom, so football-wise, yesterday we had some texters that were very interested in the Sione Takitaki release. And then reading Mike Reese, he seemed very interested in it, that this was some sort of maybe symbolic move that shows you Mike Vrabel's power, maybe even shows you where the defense is going. Can you explain to me, if you believe that to be true, what exactly that Takitaki release could indicate?
Well, I guess it would be a breadcrumb as opposed to a boulder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sione Takitaki. He's a 21-tackle guy, and I bet most people don't know what number he wore.
Nope.
Right?
No,
what number did he wear?
15.
16.
Dang.
15? I thought it was 16.
You're probably right.
So nobody knows the answer.
You're probably right.
Boo you guys.
Nikhil Harry on us. No wonder he's out of work right now. But to me, I think it's less of a muscle flex and more of an indication, and this is something that I've been saying and talking about this week, which we could certainly get into, is unless your last name is Gonzalez or May, perhaps Onwenu, Henry, Bentley, Duggar, everybody else is not nailed down and should be subject to a great audit of their value to the team, their role with the team going forward, the perception of the team's the perception of the level of buyout the player will have, and his relevance. Nobody should be beyond it, and that includes some of the high-priced guys who they re-signed last year. And I think that they should really scrutinize that. And I brought that up relative to the running back position and Ramondre Stevenson this week.
Yes, and I think that's, Tom, a great point. I saw on NBC Sports Boston, you guys, I think you guys rated running back as a 4 out of 5, like a much sneakier need.
Yep.
Than a lot of people anticipate.
And I agree with you 100% on that, Tom, by the way.
Yeah, I think the whole room kind of does as well. But I don't think the Ramondre Stevenson slander is fair because of how bad the line was last year. He didn't have his best year. But
2 years in a row.
Huh? All right, see that? Right. Right. Okay, we're up for debate on that. But, Tom, Mego did a so really
let's
nice.
Look at it this way, though, 50.
Okay,
just
hit
for
me.
The hell of it.
Yep.
So in 2023, he was outplayed significantly by Ezekiel Elliott. At the end of the year, they rewarded him with a contract, and he was outplayed by Antonio Gibson. Not only did he get that contract, and playing behind a horrendous offensive line, we should acknowledge that. He fumbled the ball 7 times for a bad team. You can't put the ball on the ground and make your situation worse. The first thing you have to be able to do is not lose games when you're a bad team, and then worry about winning them. He was actively helping them to lose games. I think he's a good player. He has a couple of runs. I think we'll all agree. Every game we go, damn, thank God they got him. And then there'll be a play, and you're like, my God. And then you'll see Antonio Gibson or Ezekiel Elliott come in over the past 2 years and say, these guys are fine. You're talking about the fifth most valuable contract at the running back position in the league belongs to him. He's the 9th highest paid in terms of per year salary, of total value of the contract. So I'm not saying he stinks. I'm not saying to cut him. I'm just saying when we talk about what Vrabel and Ryan Cowden and Elliott Wolf, for as long as he sticks around, should do, they should evaluate very harshly every position and say, are we getting what we should be out of this?
Interesting, Tom. And you got the, you kind of mentioned just the three power brokers that make up kind of the power structure there with the Patriots. You know, that being Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, and Elliott Wolf. And you saw a picture of them all together at the Senior Bowl. And I don't know, Tom. I just, you know, you got the combine a week from today where it starts. Have you heard anything? I mean, is that power structure pretty much still intact as it was in the Senior Bowl? Those are the three main faces that we're probably going to see being, promoted out there at the combine starting next week?
Yes, I definitely think so, Ted. And I think that there's very much, you know, from Mike Vrabel's comment to me the day that he was announced, and he said, look, I think that there was a lot of demands on, basically, in essence, he was saying demands on the time of Elliott Wolf because of the newness all across the franchise that he wasn't able to devote enough time to personnel. So they're giving him a mulligan.
Tommy.
They really are. What I feel like. I'm sorry. Pregnant pause. Yeah. I really feel like they're giving him a mulligan, Drew. but he should be on notice and watch. He really should. I mean, it was an embarrassingly bad year last year. I know it wasn't a great free agent class. And yeah, you got Drake May. But you could have been innovative and traded down. You didn't do that. Yes, you hit on Drake May. And you were horrendous on the other draft picks. I mean, bad. I mean, outright embarrassing. So what's the reputation that precedes him that allows him to get free reign to continue to butcher the roster? I don't know.
Tom, how much do you believe, and we know they're interconnected, free agency and then the draft. So you spend some money here, then you draft different there. But I've heard you, for example, throw out with Jones and Keefe, I think it was 2 years, $64 million for Devontae Adams, fully guaranteed. If you do that, okay, now you got your number one wide receiver. That probably pushes you a certain way on draft day. How much do you think those two are directly related? Like, we're going to know the draft Great. More because they got Adams or they got Kupp or they got Ronnie Stanley. How tightly connected are those?
That's a great question. And the $32 million a year guaranteed was more of a hypothetical. I kind of revised that when I was on TV last night. I said, you know, give him 60 over 2 years, 50 of it guaranteed.
Okay.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, but it does answer for 2025, who would be at the top of the food chain for your wide receivers. It would give the ability for a player like Jalen Polk to show a pulse in 2025 and give him the opportunity to develop perhaps a little bit. And then you're not on the hook forever to another number one, but you probably need more than one receiver anyway.
Oh yeah.
But it would at least answer the top of it, because you can't be taking in the second round, in my estimation, you're not going to take him at 4. You're not going to take Ted McMillan, and you're probably not going to take Travis Hunter because he's a better corner than he is a wideout. So I would address it in free agency, and I would do what I can and overspend there on a Davante Adams type, Andy, as opposed to a Keenan Allen type. And I would still trade for a Cooper Kupp if I could. But, you know, if you're going to do it, just do it and go get Davante Adams as opposed to, well, maybe Keenan Allen could still do it, or maybe we could wait on Chris Godwin, who might get re-signed by Tampa anyway. But that would be my stance. And it would definitely free you up on draft day to say we have somebody at the top of that depth chart.
Yeah. We're speaking to Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston here on WEI Afternoons. And, Tom, yesterday Mego posted a great piece on WEI.com about the wide receiver position, speaking to a bunch of positional coaches, athletic trainers, some that have worked with Patriots receivers, some from the outside of the organization. And obviously some of them have to pump their clients' tires. I understand that. But there still is some belief that guys in the room can be salvaged. They also believe the Patriots need to get back to drafting and developing guys that are, quote, their type, you know, who we really haven't seen around here very much. And then yesterday there was also Steve Smith audio on a podcast saying Jalen Polk got done dirty last year and he's a big believer he'll have a bounce back this year. How do you feel about that?
I love Steve Smith. He's a Rodney Harrison of the offensive side of the ball. One of those guys you would pay, even if you're in the media, to watch play. I don't understand how he was done dirty. He could not figure out how to get to the place he was supposed to be at the appointed time at the appointed depth. That's not being done dirty. They could not run their offense in totality because the wide receiver room was so screwed up. And that extends to the very likable and enjoyable Kendrick Bourne, who continues to get befuddled. I mean, the number of alignment and procedural penalties that the skill position players drew on this team and have drawn over the last couple of years, that includes Hunter Henry. It's probably one of their five best players. You look at it and say, my God, where is the quality control? So nobody was done dirty
in
this organization, player-wise. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but the
well,
Patriots.
You know me.
We do.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the Patriots to spend money. They have by far the most cap dollars to spend this offseason, yet we all know that most of the high-end free agents probably won't even hit the open market. You know, and I feel like this is really where the front office is really got to do excellent work, is identifying that middle kind of class of player, kind of like maybe what the Washington Commanders did last year. Like they got 10 free agents that were starters for them on their team last year. And I feel like there's diamond in the roughs, names that we don't know about that the front office should know and identify and maybe, you know, bring in here. Do you see them spending a lot of money on that middle class, or do you see them spending more or time and attention on just getting a few of the bigger names, if you will, in free agency?
Probably a mix of both, Ted. Honestly, they have so much cap room, you're not going to be able to spend all of it given the contracts, even if you have, you know, even if you're going to have a $25 or $30 million cap hit, $25 million, say, cap hit for Davante Adams. If you do that, you still have $100 million to spend with your 2025 cap. So I'd say both ends. The guy I use, and it might be dated for our younger listeners, would be Mike Vrabel is looking for Mike Vrabels. Guys,
yes,
who are,
yes,
on teams who are buried behind the LaVon Kirklands,
yep,
and Joey Porters of 2025, who can really contribute someplace. They want to find Zach Bonds. They want to find them everywhere, and they need to go and find those players. What will be interesting to me, Ted, is what links that we can find to Mike Vrabel will the players have that they start to look at in just a few weeks in free agency? Which guys from Tennessee, which guys from Cleveland, where he just was this past year? So if we can scrutinize those, Jack Conklin, for instance, he's a lineman with the Browns. He could be a cap casualty. Boom. Could he be a player that could come here in New England and perform here? That would be a for instance for this team that I look at. But they have so much work to do in terms of filling out the roster, and there's so many holes because I'm doing tight ends today in my little roster overview. I had running backs at a 4, quarterbacks are at a 1 in terms of need.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, tight end, I look at it as still as around a 3. It's not a non-need just because you had Austin Hooper and you have Hunter Henry. If that's a key component of your offense, which it probably will be with Josh McDaniels, Let's think about trying to get a tight end in here, fellas.
Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it.
I like that Tom, Gunnar Helm kid.
Tom, love it. Love it. And next week when we talk to you, we'll be in a full combine mode. We'll be talking about 300 prospects for the Patriots to pour over. Look forward to it, and enjoy your golf clap tonight during the national anthem of the game. Appreciate it.
Thank you, boys. Enjoy the rest of it. Love the show. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, Tommy.
That was NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, as well as by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks.